CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howitson, CFO of Vena. Artificial intelligence now holds a pivotal role in the business landscape. From driving advancements in process automation to unlocking new depths in insightful data analysis and beyond. But what potential does AI, including generative AI, offer to the Office of Finance? Joining us to discuss the process of implementation and getting finance teams up and running with AI is my colleague, Rishi Grover, co-founder and chief solution architect at Vena. Rishi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Melissa. Great to be here.
Let's start for our listeners talking a bit about your role at Vena and your prior experience before joining Vena.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm one of the co-founders here at Vena and our chief solutions architect. So I work very closely with our customers, with our product team, in terms of all things product roadmap, innovation, our product vision. My educational background is in engineering. So I did computer engineering at the University of Toronto. And since graduating, I've spent pretty much my entire career in this space. So FP&A technology to help companies re-engineer and optimize their financial processes like planning, forecasting the close, and implementing and supporting them with great technologies.
So you started out as an engineer.
Yeah.
What got you into the accounting FP&A space?
Before I graduated and during my summer internships, the companies that I did work for, the problems that we were solving, we were using a lot of Microsoft Excel. So we had, you know, lots of data. We had a certain problem to solve. And that's where I first learned the power of Excel and how you can almost model anything. You can be very creative in how you solution. So, you know, when it comes to solutioning, that's really the main thing I learned from engineering is how do you apply science to solve a problem, whatever that problem might be. And during university, when we were graduating, we had a Toronto-based FP&A software company come pitch their product for recruitment. And that's where I learned about that industry in a lot more detail and really kind of connecting, you know, what I learned in engineering to solving problems, how much I loved Excel and using Excel as that tool, and this whole FP&A technology space. That's really what attracted me in that general area. And I've loved it. So I've been there since graduating and haven't looked back.
I'm sure lots has changed since those early days, both when you started your career working and then eventually decided to found Vena. Artificial intelligence has been there for a while, mm-hmm. not a totally new concept, mm-hmm. although now it's getting a lot more momentum. It's being spoken about a lot more. Let's start with describing what is AI from your perspective?
If I look at, you know, again, the principle of engineering is understanding the science and then applying that to solution problems. When I think about artificial intelligence, it really is the science to make a machine or a computer think like a human. And fundamentally, that's what it is. And really at the core of it, it's a broad set of technologies that really helps understand patterns in large amounts of data to then make a future prediction or a future projection. And, you know, we've all heard the terms machine learning. So machine learning is the underlying algorithm or engine that's doing all of that. And to your point, this is not a brand new technology. So, you know, I think it's in the 1940s or 50s where these machine learning algorithms first started. And really, they're statistical models. They're highly advanced statistical models, but nonetheless, it is statistics. It's simply math. There's no magic that's happening. But, you know, when we look at AI today, and there's so many applications now that are happening, the reason why now it's happening is we now have the volume of data. So for machine learning to process these statistical models, you need a lot of data to be able to do that. So that's one thing. And now we see within our organizations or, you know, the Salesforces of the world, the Gongs of the world, like every single department has so many pieces of technology and all of it is storing large amounts of data. So the volume of data is now available. And also as importantly is the computational power is now available through cloud. So if this was, you know, just using computers within your four firewalls, that's not enough computational power to take that large amount of data and these statistical models to create these projections. So it's just very interesting that this is not new technology, but because of the intersection of where we are in this market landscape, it's now becoming a reality. And because of that, now there's so many smart people and companies that are now putting so much attention towards artificial intelligence. So now we're just seeing this big burst of productivity tools that's using AI technology. And what's amazing is this is just the beginning. Like, what's going to happen in, honestly, 3 months, 6 months, in a few years is just very interesting, super exciting.
What do you think the role is that artificial intelligence plays in finance, and how is it going to transform the Office of Finance?
I think the three main areas where I think we're going to see a lot of benefit is, first and foremost, is efficiency and productivity. I think AI will do a lot of things that before very smart people were doing very manual tasks. I think a lot of that will be automated, such that now I have so much more time available to be productive, to work on things that are more strategic in nature. I think the other is around accuracy of data. And this is more focused for finance, but when we are predicting out our plan or our forecasts, to using, again, these machine learning models that takes large amounts of historical data, detect certain patterns, and then can predict out a future value. But because of all of this computation that's happening, is the accuracy is now becoming higher and higher. And the other main area is all things, what I'll call innovation. So being able to, you know, recognize patterns in data, but also draw out insights into that data. Where can a human do it? Absolutely. But because of the large amounts of data, these AI technologies helps to quickly go through that, again, determine correlations in data, patterns in data, and then give me insights into that, which I guess interrelates to productivity, that it does a lot of that for me so I can be more insightful in my analysis and making decisions. So taking those three core principles, efficiency, accuracy, and innovation or insights, now looking at that in the lens for the Office of Finance, productivity, like we've all heard of Microsoft 365 Copilot and things like that. So those are just technologies that help me become much more productive. And then, you know, predictive forecasting, that's been around for a while now, but now there's just a lot more attention going towards that technology. So it's becoming cheaper, it's becoming more consumable, and it's becoming easier for the Office of Finance to use those technologies for their planning process. And finally, you know, when we look at the world of BI, there's amazing BI technologies out there like Power BI. Within those platforms now, they have AI-powered visualizations. So now, even though it's not called an AI object, it is using AI machine learning technology behind the scenes to then give me insights that otherwise I may have missed.
The other interesting intersection is at this time when AI is now readily available and ready for prime time, It's the very same time when we're often talking about the Office of Finance needing to become more strategic,
right,
and efficiency and productivity being such a key focus for businesses everywhere. And so it just happens to be coming together,
exactly right,
that the tools are here to help us be able to free up that time to be more strategic.
That's right.
Now, at the same time, there is a bit of caution around this, I think, you know, especially for finance folks. We tend to be, you know, a little risk adverse. It's in our nature. What do you think are some of the most common misconceptions about AI right now?
Speaking to our customers, speaking to analysts and people in the Office of Finance industry, I think the biggest misconception, there's a lot of small ones. I think the biggest one is this going to replace my job? And I think, you know, if I were to be very direct, the answer is no, it's not. The way I would look at that is, you know, if I go back to Microsoft 365 Copilot, there's a reason why it's called Copilot. It's there to assist the pilot. And the finance professional will always be the pilot. They're the one that's flying the plane. And Copilot is their AI assistant, is the way that I would look at that. So AI is there to help you become more productive, to give you insights into all this data that you have, such that you now have more time to be much more strategic in nature. So if anything, you know, I think AI is going to supercharge the finance professional. But that is a key thing that I do hear all the time is, you know, hey, is this going to replace my job? And at face value, I could see how that is a common misconception of AI. But really, when you dig into it, and the reality is AI is here. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to go back to the way it was. It's going to accelerate faster than we can all expect. So to really think of it in the perspective of this is my co-pilot, I am the co-pilot, and I'm here to add much more strategic value as opposed to doing very tactical work.
Can you give us some examples of some of the time-consuming processes that you've seen AI be able to help eliminate or simplify to help boost finance teams?
One thing comes to mind, and this is a bit finance agnostic, and I'll get to some finance examples, but so Microsoft Teams. So at Venna, we use Microsoft Teams, and it's amazing that before Teams Copilot, I would be spending a lot of times during a meeting taking notes. And as I'm taking notes, I might have missed a certain conversation or something very small but very important someone said, but I overlooked that because my attention was writing a note of a previous conversation that was happening. But now Teams Copilot, it does a tremendous job at summarizing the meeting. Here are all the topics that we talked about. Here are the next steps because, you know, in a meeting is we'll say things like, you know what, I'll help produce that report. Or you name someone, hey, can you work on this project next? So at the end of this summary for Teams Copilot, it'll give all the actions of what needs to be done and who needs to do it. So just thinking about that simple example, the amount of time it saved me from doing manual note-taking or however I might have done that before, such that now I can pay much more attention to the meeting, contribute a lot more. And also at the same time, it probably took a lot better notes than I would have done manually myself. So just looking at that simple example, and now we can extrapolate that across so many different finance use cases. So when I look at the finance team, finance people are some of the smartest people I know. But at the same time, I see them doing some of the most manual tasks that I know. So how can we remove those manual tasks? And that can be, you know, part of the forecasting process. Can we use more predictive technology to create my first draft of a forecast so I don't need to start every cycle with the whole bottoms-up process? And over time, it becomes more accurate because it's getting more data. We're course-correcting it along the way that if it produces a predictive forecast that's incorrect, we correct the algorithm so it becomes more and more fine-tuned and precise over time. So now my energy, as opposed to manually putting in a forecast, now that first draft is done for me, so I can be much more strategic in nature. So that's one example. You know, another example is around, you know, using these BI technologies, again, to extract insights from my data. Again, as I mentioned, can we do it ourselves? Absolutely, but that's a lot of human power. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of digging through large amounts of data. And there's, of course, always a potential risk of I've missed something. So can AI technology help me not spend all that time and make sure I don't miss something very critical? So although that Teams Copilot example is very, very tactical in nature, it's a great example to showcase how valuable AI is for so many different types of processes.
Let's start talking then about the implementation journey and how finance folks should think about that. What are some of the steps that should be taken at the beginning of that journey when you're thinking about AI?
I would say first and foremost is just be curious. Like there's all these amazing examples of AI technology that probably is in technology that you're using today because most software vendors now are adding AI tech. If I look back 2 years ago and vendors and technologies adding AI technology, it was because AI was the buzzword at that time. So it was almost like they were slapping on AI tech for the sake of doing it. But now we really are in a world where there are real tangible features and capabilities within existing technologies. So my advice would be, you know, if you're new to AI or at the early stages of your AI journey within either your team or as an organization, is just be curious, start to learn more about it. There's so many things on the web, on YouTube, and just be very aware of the technologies as much as possible. Understand how the technology works, because I think, you know, kind of getting back to our previous point, there is that trust factor or I'm risk adverse. And a lot of times that happens because I'm just unaware of how the underlying technology works. So I'm not recommending to finance organizations that learn the deep science and the algorithms, but just be aware of how it works. And it's not overly complicated because, again, it's statistical models. But when you understand how it works, then you start to open up your mind on, okay, great, what are the potential opportunities and how I can use that? I would then start to look at, you know, within your finance organization, when looking at this new AI technology, what are your goals and objectives? And there I would look at, you know, what are all the manual tasks that your team is doing where you believe AI technology can help automate and streamline those such that your team can be much more productive. I start to look at where is that manual time happening where your very smart team is doing very manual tasks. And then I would start to document that and then prioritize based upon what your goals are, where your priority is, what data is needed to start to use AI for that. And is the data ready? Do we need to start a project to start to prepare that data? And then start to kind of execute on that.
One of the interesting things is it's here now. You read a lot about, you know, even the skills that finance folks are going to need next year, 2 years, 3 years from now. And there can also be an inclination to think, okay, well, should I bring somebody else outside of my world in, you know, somebody who knows software as an engineer, knows artificial intelligence. I think what you're saying is the curiosity from within and starting to understand and leaning into this is the right way to go because we know our business and you can grow it from there. You don't wait for some third party to come in and help figure this out. Maybe that has a role in it, but you think it should come from inside and all finance people leaning in.
Absolutely. I think it should come from inside. And also, you know, if you were to ask me that same question 2 years ago, I might have advised that the primary should be bringing someone in that is a data scientist. And although that has its value for a larger AI project that requires, you know, for example, all of your company data put together into a data warehouse, structured in a certain way to then use that data set to apply AI technology department by department, that's where you need some of that data science, the data analysts, and what have you. But when looking at the application of AI within a department, the technology now has become so much more consumerized. And again, that's just right now. Where it will be in 3 months, 6 months onwards, it'll just become easier and easier to implement. So having said that, if you start from within and you just build some basic technical proficiency around that technology, and again, just be curious, be creative. I think now we're in this starting time where departments like the Office of Finance can start to do this completely by themselves.
The CFO Show is brought to you by Vena, the only complete planning platform natively integrated with Microsoft 365. With Vena, your finance and operations team can maximize your productivity and efficiency to deliver data and insights to your whole business faster. Vena lets your team use the Microsoft apps they already know and love, like Excel and PowerPoint, while giving your business the power of scale through a robust centralized database and AI capabilities. Learn more at venasolutions.com.
Now we're in this starting time where departments like the Office of Finance can start to do this completely by themselves.
I think that, you know, some are leaning in. There's still some things holding folks back from that. What do you think are some of those top concerns or challenges that they have, and how do companies get through that?
We've all heard the term bad data in, bad data out. So having not just the quality of data, but also the volume of data. The more data there's no kind of minimum prerequisite per se, but the more that you have, so the more historical data you have. Because again, these machine learning algorithms are looking at lots of data, determining patterns such that then it can predict out. So the more data you give it, the more accurate the output and the quality of the output of the AI models are. So that generally is a concern that, you know, is my data clean? Is my data ready? Do I have enough? The good thing here is that a lot of companies are already down this big data or data warehouse strategy. So bringing data from all sorts of databases and software applications, normalizing it and putting it into a central environment. Most companies are, if not there, are on that path. But I think specifically to the Office of Finance is they need to be the data stewards of their data, ensure that data first is readily available and consistently monitor that it's being refreshed to my data warehouse on a certain frequency and having quality control and checks in there. So yes, it's a concern and it is a must have in terms of that data, but the data is there and most companies are already on that path. The other part I think comes down to trust that, you know, if I use these AI technologies, can I trust the outcome or the output of it? And that's a legitimate concern. And what I would say there, I would kind of go back to the analogy of the pilot and the co-pilot, is AI is your co-pilot. It should not be flying the plane. You are flying the plane. So there has to be always that human oversight to what an AI application is producing. And the other great thing about some of these new AI technologies is it does give you transparency and visibility into how it's doing calculations. So I would say that's a must for any AI technology that you select or that you implement. Make sure that it is transparent in that perspective. It's audible and you can understand how it's doing certain calculations. And also make sure that you're able to control it and correct it as needed. And more mature AI technology should always provide that feedback loop to giving you transparency to what is it generating, allowing you to see, is it accurate or not? And if not accurate, you can fine tune it. So it gets smarter and smarter over time. So that's where the human oversight is needed to manage the AI algorithms. Although that sounds complex, it really is now very consumerized in a lot of applications, but always making sure that there is that level of human governance and oversight to then, especially for decisions where it's very strategic in nature for the organization, always have that human oversight, of course, in terms of this is what it's produced. Now let's use the human intelligence to be able to drive business decisions. And the last one I would say is around security. Is my data secure? And of course there, you know, we all have to do our due diligence with any AI technology. We have to follow whatever regulations you fall into, whatever laws we fall into. But that security it's there. It's, you know, we definitely have to do our due diligence. But, you know, if I give an analogy there is, you know, if you're a public company, there are lots of technologies out there that help with the production of a 10K document, a 10Q document, doing the XBRL taking and things like that. And those are all cloud-based applications. So when public companies use those cloud-based applications, their pre-release data is going into that cloud environment before it's being released to the public. So of course, you want to make sure that environment is highly secure and every company will do their due diligence to make sure of that. I would think of AI no different. Just make sure that the data is secure and compliant with your internal and external security protocols.
I think that's great advice and a good way to look about it because you touched on things that are top of mind. You know, we're responsible for risk and oversight there. And you can't just go into this with your eyes closed, not really understanding what it means. And I love the co-pilot and who still really is the pilot and accountable to be the pilot. Now, when you think about the ROI, because of course in finance, we always think about the return and is this the right investment? How do you suggest that finance teams evaluate the ROI of implementing some of these AI tools into their operations?
What's interesting with ROI, with AI technology, is it's actually much simpler to do than a traditional technology. It's looking at how much time is someone on my finance team spending doing these tasks. And AI really should almost bring that down to near zero. So you can then do that calculation, right? What's their salary? How much time do they spend on that? And then just, you know, do the math in terms of what is the cost of this offer. So if I give an example of that at Venna for our technology, is we have a product called Venna Copilot. And Venna Copilot is designed to be like an FP&A assistant, an AI assistant for the business. And when we help our customers calculate the ROI of that, it's, you know, if you take a look at a forecasting process or when you're done your month-end close process, your business stakeholders are pretty much always, they're messaging the finance team, asking them questions about their results, about their actual to forecast. Am I on target? Am I off target? Do I have enough budget to hire more individuals or what have you? There's a lot of back and forth there. And if I just take a look at the example of when that happens manually, what's the time does it take for my finance team or a member of the finance team to get that question? They might be busy with a whole bunch of other tasks. They might even get to that question the next day. So you add a day there. And then how much time does it take for them to then, you know, query their systems, get the data out, do their analysis, build a report, and send it back to that stakeholder? With Venna Copilot, that happens instantly, where a business stakeholder can type in a question to Venna Copilot and almost right away, within seconds, get the result back with a downloaded report. So there's a very simple kind of ROI calculation. How many questions, for example, in a certain month are being asked to my finance team? How long on average does it take them to do it manually? And that is your time savings, because we, of course, their salaries and what have you. That is the cost savings. And what's the cost of the technology that's providing that?
It is one of the easier, cleanest ROIs. Mm-hmm. That might be what's fueling some of the, is this going to displace me? Because the ROI is on my time. But I think the way we have to get through that hurdle, like you said, is it's freeing you up to do other things.
Exactly.
You're saving to reinvest that time in something else.
I have so much respect for the Office of Finance. These are such intelligent individuals. And when they join organizations, they normally join an organization because they believe in the vision of the company. They want to be part of the strategy and the execution of that, not in these manual tasks. So removing those manual tasks, using AI to help as your co-pilot, you can now be more of that pilot and drive strategy, do more strategic initiatives and things like that. So really, it's a reallocation of your time and also of your mental energy. So you can just have much better outputs on much more of a strategic perspective. Absolutely, yeah.
When I think then for, you know, finance leaders, CFOs, as we're looking ahead and thinking about the skill sets that our teams are going to need for this, both whether it's new hiring or the team that we have, how do you think that we should be thinking about those skill sets to make sure that we're building a team that's ready to adopt these AI technologies?
I think that technical acumen and curiosity comes hand in hand. And also, of course, they have to have the business acumen. They have to understand, you know, the financials of the business and the strategy of the business. But also, I think now it's a level of creativity. If you picture a world where AI is really helping with majority of these manual tasks, where the human judgment and human intelligence can never be replaced, is around how do I creatively apply the results of an AI engine? And how do I apply that in a creative way that addresses the strategy of the organization? So those would be areas that I would more test for now when bringing in individuals into the finance team. And on the technical kind of curiosity side, of course, you know, being an Excel expert, I think is always number one thing for the finance department is, can you be very creative within Excel? Can you apply the business acumen to doing awesome modeling within an Excel environment? The other thing I would say is proficiency and technical proficiency around more BI technologies, like Power BI as an example. So being able to, you know, take vast amounts of data and being able to produce very kind of digestible dashboards that's generating insights for your business stakeholders. And quite honestly, I would say start to really tap into languages like Python. You don't have to be the expert in Python, but just getting your hands on there, seeing some code, and just understanding how these statistical models work, I think is just, you know, looking forward now into this world of AI is to understand the science well enough so you can apply that to solve problems in a very creative way. So really bringing in those types of skill sets within the Office of Finance.
I love how you talk about that curiosity. I think that goes hand in hand with being process oriented.
All right.
And wanting to understand that whole picture. What happens in this process? Where is the time to be able to identify then where the biggest value could come? And that comes from, for sure, understanding our own lane and our world, but also the worlds around us, because we don't operate just on our own. There may be time happening in another team that's helping us get our inputs. And then as we hand it over, and so looking sort of at that whole collective time, which means we have to be curious and understand that whole picture. So Rishi, you deal with lots of different folks in finance all the time, our customers, our potential customers. What are you seeing in terms of how they're thinking about AI and where they're maybe getting some of the biggest benefit?
I really bring it back to those three thematic areas. So productivity, accuracy, and insights for innovation. So for our customers, you know, when I look at accuracy, is we do have many customers that are leveraging the data that's in the Venna application. So within Venna, we store all actual data from ERP systems, GL systems that are combined with user inputs, their strategic inputs for their plans, forecasts, or budgets, different what-if scenarios and things like that. But we also have customers that use the data in Venna plus these machine learning algorithms to create predictive forecast scenarios. And again, those are things that are fine-tuned over time. So we have some customers that, you know, the first version of their forecast where it's produced by a predictive model is almost 94% accurate. So now their energy is spent more on fine-tuning the numbers and the review and the analysis of it, as opposed to the manual effort of generating all those numbers every forecast cycle. So I think that's a huge efficiency gain. And also, again, over time, the accuracy becomes more and more. It becomes more accurate because over time, of course, I always have more actual data, and also they course correct over time. So that's how it becomes more accurate over time. The other would be, as I mentioned, Venna Copilot. So that helps a lot with productivity. So all of my business stakeholders, they can ask Venna Copilot their questions on actual to budget variance analysis. What are my top performing areas? You know, what if I invested in a certain project earlier than later? How will that impact my gross margin? So questions like that can be answered via Venna Copilot, which is using AI technology. Again, for finance individuals to always monitor that, because again, they need to monitor it, have visibility to how it's answering the questions and also course correct. But now more of their time is spent on the strategic value add for the organization. And then the last thing I'll say is around the insights. So within Venna, we have a product called Venna Insights, where we have, you can think of Venna Insights as we have embedded and productized Power BI and all of its capabilities, but we have fine-tuned it specific for FP&A use cases. And we are leveraging all of the underlying AI technology with Power BI. So now there's charts and graphs and different visualizations that exposes kind of some very key insights into large amounts of data. Again, so it helps the finance team not miss something potentially, but also quickly see insights so they can quickly act on those insights as well. So those are the three main areas that I see our customers benefiting from AI technology that's within the Venna platform.
So now I want you to look into the crystal ball and tell us, where do you think AI is going and how should finance professionals prepare for that future?
You know, it'd be funny, actually, I just thought of this, is what if I ask like ChatGPT, what's the future of AI? Because I'm using AI to predict the future of AI.
That's a little scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be scary. It might be stuck in a loop. The next step there, I think, will be, you know, again, using Gen AI, saying, produce me a predictive forecast if I change this part of my business strategy, or build me a dashboard that looks at this, or build me a report. So I think that's the next evolution on how, specifically for the Office of Finance, I think we'll have amazing value. Because if you think about our day-to-day jobs, is we are producing reports very frequently. We're producing PowerPoint decks. We're putting together a story from all of our numbers. We're creating dashboards. We're getting insights. So I think doing stuff like that using natural language, I think, is the next big leap, specifically for the Office of Finance. And although, you know, I don't have the magic ball, but I can see in the next 1 year some awesome innovation that's going to happen. But what gets me so excited is I don't know what's going to happen after that 1 year. And I just can't wait to see what kind of innovation this community is going to be starting to develop.
It is an exciting time for sure. Rishi, thank you so much for joining me today. I always appreciate how you can take things that can seem complex and explain them in ways that are so easy to understand. So thank you for sharing your thoughts. Now, whenever we have a guest on the show, we do have two rapid fire questions that we like to ask. So okay. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. First one, what is your go-to strategy to stay productive during the workday?
it starts from the night before. I try my best to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night. I've, you know, just doing a lot of trial and error. If I do anything below 6 versus anything above 6, there's just a massive difference in my next day. So I try to get as much as possible. I do like to get up quite early. I like to ease myself in the morning. So take my time with my breakfast, watching the news, having some coffee, and making sure I'm not rushed into my first meeting. And I find if I get enough sleep and I have a nice ease into the day, then generally I'm quite highly productive.
Sounds like a good recipe.
Yeah.
And next question, what helps you to turn a bad day around?
I don't find I have bad days. And I'll explain why. I think it's just a mindset that, you know, if I were to have a bad day, you know, it might have been because I just didn't have a good meeting or I had a certain situation during the day that didn't go the way I expected it to go, or I wasn't happy with the outcome of a certain meeting or a podcast or something like that. The other perspective there is if something didn't go well, then I learned something very valuable that the next time I'm in that situation, that's not going to happen. So if I change my mindset to thinking of situations that way, then that was a good meeting in a certain sense. I try my best to keep that mindset such that I wouldn't have a bad day. But if I did have a bad day, I just maybe have 9 hours of sleep the next night. Catch up. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much awesome. For sharing
Thank you,
your
Melissa,
thoughts.
Very
Appreciate
much.
Having you.
Awesome. Thank you.
If you'd like to learn more about today's topic, please visit the links in the show notes. Looking for more great CFO show content? Sign up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll get a roundup of exclusive content to help you grow and drive strategic transformation. Visit thecfoshowpodcast.com to sign up now. For The CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.